This talk, Aris made a very good opening for me there when he spoke about taking over evolution. Now, basically, this talk is going to be about taking over the universe. As you see from this first transparency here, it is obvious what I'm going to almost discuss, and you can read also my paper. And clearly, what I'm trying to say here, and I would like to give the conclusions here, it is we have evidence, experimental evidence, that somehow a lot, the large structure that we see in the universe, and all the way that I'm going to discuss, basically that I'm going to, all this talk is going to be about this, the origin, that it is chance and sustainability plays a very important role in the whole evolution. And actually, we're going to have, as we're going to discuss, there are going to be a lot of universes, this parallel universe or multiverse, whatever it is, that many of them are not going to make it, and sometimes some are going to make it and are going to come back and stuff like that. And it is very, 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 the parallel between this guy over there and this universe is, it is apparent, I think. And I think how I can miss this opportunity to refer to one of the towering figures of the 20th century, Albert Camus, who I think his life was had a parallel death 50 years ago on the 4th of January of 2010, but all his life, starting from very, very, very poor origins to become a Nobel Prize winner in 1957, I think is almost like a parallel, and I'm devoting this talk to his memory. Now, what I would like to discuss with you, it is the following, that it is, we know that we're living in an expanding universe. Everything I'm going to say is facts. I'm going to tell you when I'm stop talking facts, and it will be theory. We know that we're living in an expanding universe. It is even accelerating. That's not for our discussion. It does not matter in my discussion. Because it's expanding, it means now if I go back in time, it's going to be very, 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 very small. If it is very, very small, it's going to be less than an atom, a quark, whatever it is, will be like a string. And then what it is happening, it is it has to obey what we call the quantum laws of nature. Well, during the last few years, we have an amazing development in string theory, where we have come to the conclusion that actually the way that this generic scenario that I just described is realized in nature, it is also has to be dumbfounded. And frankly, we cannot believe what we are finding. What we are finding, it was the following thing. What we found was the following thing. That it is, in string theory, that is not, we have some fundamental equations, if you want, but what we call the solutions of these equations, it is what John Barrow, I don't know if John Barrow is here, but what John Barrow was talking yesterday, it is, it would be, this theory can be very symmetric, but the solutions we cannot be necessarily have the symmetry of the theory. And actually, what we found was that we have something like 10 to the 500 universe solutions. Each of those, so 10 means one and then 500 zeros there. So it's enough universes so that we can discuss about probabilities, as you understand, I hope, that we, so we resolve this problem, the original problem. Now, these universes that are kind of virtual universe, it means that this universe can appear from nothing, right, for this thing, through this quantum fluctuation. And now the other thing that we have found, and I think it answers a problem that I had since I was, that's why I was doing physics, it is the following, about the physical laws. What we are finding, it is the following, that each of these, you know, virtual universes could be another universe that we don't know at this moment and we cannot communicate, but that's a different story. It has its own physical laws. What it is happening is very, very simple. Consistency of string theory is telling us, I'm here, you have read it many times, that we have to live in space that has much more than four dimensions that we know, three space and one time. Now, what it means is we have, for instance, we can have six or seven extra dimensions. But you say, well, you're crazy. Where is the extra dimensions? The extra dimensions means that every point, this point now that I take here, it means that it is not a point that we think, because we cannot see otherwise, but it is a small kind of complicated structures there with six-dimensional or seven-dimensional, something like that. The way that these structures are happening and are stabilized there, that automatically provides for us the physical laws. So if a universe that it is here, for instance, I have something like how you can look, a kind of what we call the hidden space, because we don't see it, right, from this kind of thing. Here you see now a typical example of a six-dimensional, I mean, in three dimensions, of course, that we can have something like that. The way that, for instance, they have this form that they have, automatically they say to the physicists, what is the corresponding physical laws? And when we say to you that we have 10 to the 500 universes, it means that we have 10 to the 500 ways that we can kind of making these extra dimensions to be curved. And this is the fundamental thing which is very new now for this kind of thing. It was there and we never somehow thought in this way that it is, that's how, so what I'm telling you, it is a physical, a universe exists together with physical laws. We don't need extra things there. The universe, for the moment it's existing, it's automatically, it comes as a package with the physical laws. This is a very, very important kind of thing. Now, the thing that it is interesting, it is the following thing. The thing is that it is possible, now fasten belt, because I want to go really a very interesting case here. It is the thing that it is happening, it is the following. That we are living in this universe, and this universe made it. There's completely nothing that has predicted that this universe is going to exist. After this kind of fluctuation, it has the suitable kind of environment, and then it expands. And actually, we need the expansion. We need the expansion because otherwise it cannot exist. Why it cannot exist? Because gravity is negative. We need the expansion, which is like a kinetic energy, so that the sum of the two energies has to be always zero. And it is an amazing experimental. If you ask me what is one of the most fundamental experimental findings of the last century was that the total energy in the universe is zero. We know now, without any kind of question mark, that the energy of the total energy of the universe is zero. So in this case, the whole universe can pop out of nothing, right, for this thing, because we have a conservation of energy, and then some of this universe that we're talking about are going to make it, some of them they're not going to do it. So this kind of thing, that this universe, that it has these physical laws and the way that it behaves, it is automatically resolved in this kind of picture now. So then the universe is expanding the way that we have described for the last 50 years now. People have discussed the structures and stuff like that. The problems, I repeat again, that we're resolving now, it is just in the origin. Because after one moment, if I was giving this talk 10 years ago, then I would tell you that leave these things as they are, give me the first, let's say, 10 to minus 30 seconds or something like that, and we can take it from there, right, from this thing. Now, and always I was saying, if I follow some of my talks on my interviews, I was saying that it is the real problem that we're working, it is just in the origin. What made this thing to be what it is, right, for this thing here? And I think we have a kind of create a new framework now, because this is a very interesting framework, that this kind of universes now, it is around, and there is the last thing that I'm going to discuss with you, it is the following, which is really mind-boggling, and this is the following. It is possible that to create universe at this moment, at this point here, it is possible that another universe, here, not in the whole universe, here, another universe is popping up, which, because it is expanding with his own way, is not to us, we cannot see it in the way that we see, we can do experiments at this moment. And then the whole thing continuously generates new kind of universes. This basically resolves a problem of the beginning of time. Because actually us, as you see in this picture here, you see now this type of thing that I was just describing. You see, this is the key. Suppose that there is a universe here, then you can pop up, and then here I explain why that some of this, from this kind of stabilized extra dimensions are changing. You see now there's a little different, and so we have a new universe here, then you have another universe here, another universe here, and someone, somewhere there in one of these universes, which is about now 13.7 billion years, right from this thing. What is this 13.7 billion years? That this universe came into being, right, for this thing. So this is, suppose that this is the case that we're talking about, this purple thing here, right, for this thing. We don't care through the whole process what was there and stuff like that. What we care and what we study through our physical laws, it is basically our universe. The cleverness of this theory, though, is starting with our universe and with our physical laws, we go back and we have tried now to see what is the fundamental theory that I was just describing at the beginning. So every kind of parallel, whatever it is, Hawking there in other universes for this thing, the corresponding Hawking of the other universe, would have his physical laws will be different. But the fundamental equation will be the same. But so she should be able, through doing things that we're doing, to come to the same type of conclusion, right, for this thing. And now how we test this kind of things, because physics is experimental science. That's the difference with everything else, right, for this thing. I mean, biology also, of course, but just to avoid confusion, right, for this thing. Actually, the picture that I was showing in the beginning, it is this kind of things here. This is already done universes. This is our universes in the being, where they're trying to become something. They have not decided yet, right, for this kind of thing. And this is this kind of, whatever you call it there, like a balloons or something like that. This is the shape of what is happening, what we believe, what it is, the universe, what we call it, the multiverse. Of course, eventually we have to change the world, right, for this thing, because the whole thing is a universe, right, for this. But as we believe that the sun, the Earth was the center, the sun was the center, now we know that there's hundreds of billion stars in a galaxy, where 100 billion galaxies in our universe, and now finally we come to the point that there are 10 to the 500 universes, right, for this kind of thing. So what it is happening here now, it is, I repeat again, it does matter, the meaning of beginning of time does not have any sense anymore. This is eternal. This is eternal, it is self-produced, and as you see here, it's a kind of fractal. That is what is our universe all about from this case. And I believe again, I repeat again, this is a change that the physicists have done during the last few years, and some of this now it's, you know, people are fighting, but never mind, I'm giving you the central line here. What it is happening, it is on this central stage that we're talking about now, it is we have changed a little bit. We are not looking for uniqueness of the solution. We are looking for the uniqueness of the theory, of the fundamental theory. If you remember, John Barrow yesterday was saying there's a symmetry and then we have all these kind of things here. We were walking through here in order to get the fundamental theory. And the fundamental theory is going to be the kind of the pinnacle of everything, and all of these universes, they're going to have the same kind of pyramid to have this corresponding theory. So this is a kind of new kind of game in town in this thing. And now, and I'm just finishing, this is pretty new, that it is, we can test this kind of ideas at CERN, at LHC. Because otherwise people would say here, well, whatever it is, you can say this, and Thanasis will come and say something else, right, from this kind of thing. We can test these types of ideas at CERN, and then here what you will see here, it is, you see here now, it is a thing we have done with my group at Texas, and Bob have seen for the last 2 months, I have discussed with him in an excited way. What it is, it, you see here, sorry, what you see here, it is the, what you will see here, it is the following thing. I don't think you can see it very, but if you see here, there is like a small wells here, right, for this kind of thing here. Now, what it is happening is we start with the universes that they have a little bit look. I mean, I can construct now in the lab, in the computer, I can show you a universe which can be very, very look like ours, but not exactly right for this thing. So basically, in order to start checking these ideas, you go away, you know, you change a little bit things, you know, in the beginning, and to try to see now if we can get back to the universe that you know and you have some kind of stability. Now, what it is happening, it is something amazing that here you see this kind of thing here, that it is in different quantities. One of these is a fundamental mass that we know it at CERN, and then what is happening is you see it just hits down at a specific, that's it, what we call in the States a touchdown here, and just on a specific point, just on a specific, it is amazing in the whole display, in order to get this number to say that we are in our universe, then you predict immediately all a new set of particles and exactly its mass with two decimal points. Now, this is exactly what our experimental friends at CERN love, because as you understand, it is first, it is within their kind of capacity, and secondly, experimentalists, they love to prove us wrong, right, from this kind of thing. So we expose ourselves completely. That's what I think what Feynman was saying. A good theorist is the one that he kills his theory or her theory the soonest possible, right, from this kind of thing. Now, this is something like can be killed, you know, within months, if you want, for this kind of thing here, but it is amazing. It is amazing that this kind of thing, we have reached now a point that we can test now ideas starting from the beginning of time, and now I explain what the beginning of time is, and coming down now to this case at CERN. Now, I think, I didn't say anything about the ancient Greeks in my paper, these are ancient Greeks. I don't believe there is a better explanation for what we are talking about here. Modulo the introduction to Camille I make at the beginning that I don't have to make say anymore, but see now what Heraclitus have said now from around the 6th century, right, from this kind of thing here, and because you all speak ancient Greek, I don't have to describe this, right, for this kind of thing here. So you see now that it is unbelievable for this kind of thing, the 6th century BC, right, from this kind of thing. I mean, this, you know, guy that he was basically a son of a king or something like that, and he wanted to become philosopher, not to become king, right, for this thing, unlike the present political situation in Greece, right, for this thing. It is just to, right, for this kind of thing here. What it happens is, it is, I cannot find a kind of ancient Greek proverb that can be looking like that, right, for this thing. And thank you very much for this attention here. Thank you.